As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it is brought to you by Busted Tees, who, for a limited time only, will be offering 25% off all of their Halloween-themed shirts, which is like costume shirts and just other stuff. So head over to BustedTees.com, click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banners on the site, and use the promo code SHIRTUP at checkout to get 20% off your Halloween order. That's SHIRTUP in checkout. So while we aren't offering any special things like that, we do have our own shirts. So head over to DestroProducts.com/store and check them out. We are still accepting shirt design art. We will, if you have an idea, then that'll be great. Just let us know, but we won't be able to pay you for it. If you have art, we'll be able to pay you. So yeah, send art to Bobby1 at DestroProducts.com or post it in the teacher design thread on the forums. If you like it, we'll make it into a shirt and we'll pay you based on how well that shirt sells. Priority will be given to DestroProducts jokes or references or something, but if you just have some art you think would be cool and you would like us to have, then please don't hesitate to send it our way. I am your host, the Dead Man. Join me today, we have Bovion.
Hello.
And Budgetron.
Oh, hi.
Yeah. Now that Extra Life is over, it's really weird not saying Extra Life.
Yeah, it feels like we're not quite complete without it. It's a good thing that they start up so early. I mean, it'll only be, like, what, 3-4 months before we start pimping that again?
Probably. But yeah. So, yeah, we're anime and manga. Woo! Yeah, so I've only read one thing over the past couple weeks, so I guess I'll go first and get that out of the way. So I read High School DxD.
Oh, yeah, quality piece of,
yeah, it's pretty good.
Middle and age work there.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So it is an edgy supernatural action harem thing. And so there's this kid named Issei. He is, you know, aside from being retardedly perverted, he is an ordinary kid. And so one day he goes on a date with a girl named Yuma. She is his first girlfriend, everything's going fine. And then she kills him. You know, as they do.
Well, as far as first dates go, I'd say mixed messages.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being absolutely horrible, 10 being perfect, that'd probably be like a 4. Like she can get a lot worse than you just being murdered. Believe me. But anyway, so yeah, she murders him, but then he wakes up the next day, perfectly fine. It turns out that a girl at his school, one of the school idols, I guess, Ria Senpai, is actually a demon who resurrected him as a demon. Because you see, in this world, there are three factions of people. There are the angels, the fallen angels, and the demons. And all of them are at war. Like, the fallen angels are taking over the hell. The demons want hell to be taken back over by them. And the angels want to kill all of them. And to get this to happen, each of these three factions need to bond with humans. And it all works out a lot like chess, apparently. And yeah, so Issei is resurrected as a pawn. But instead of just having the power of one pawn, he has the power of 8 pawns. Because he's special. You see, in this world, some people have this thing called the sacred gear, which is like a special ability hidden in them. It's like some people have the ability to, like the one guy on the team who's the knight, I can't remember his name, I'm pretty sure it's Kiba. He has the ability to summon swords, like for any situation. Like he's able to summon swords that like are able to eat light. He's able to summon swords that like can break fire. And so his, as it turns out, is actually really special. It is a gauntlet that actually lets him boost, that actually lets him double his power every 10 seconds. So, summons a glove, boost, then for 10 seconds his power is doubled, then for another 10 seconds his power is quadrupled, then another 10 seconds his power is whatever the oopled word is for 8.
Octupled.
Octupled? That just sounds stupid.
Opticlicated.
Opticlicated. That.
Or opticated.
Opticated. Oh, but yeah, it.
Opliferated.
You're just making up words now.
Yes, I am.
But yeah, it's a pretty fun manga. It's got decent amount of humor. The actions are pretty good in it. And we started like learning some more about how like the demon world works and stuff, and it's been getting pretty interesting. Like Ryas, she is part of like one of the higher echelons of demon families, and so she has the standard higher echelon family problems. You know, they're kind of like first world problems, but for higher up, I guess. Nth world problems. That I fucking know. But anyway, it's fun. Like the art's pretty good. The series is an ecchi series, so if you're not into ecchi, then probably stay away. But yeah, I like it. So yeah, moving on. Yeah. Like I said, the series I think only has like 21 chapters out now, and one of them is an omake, and it's. I can't really get that deep into it without spoiling a lot of stuff.
There's an anime.
There's an anime?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've actually heard a lot about it, which is why I didn't bother asking you how heavily ecchi it was, because I know from hearing about the anime that it is quite heavily ecchi.
Yeah.
I think it was the spring 2012 season.
Yeah, it's pretty ecchi, like, there are multiple scenes of just the girl waking up, just the guy waking up with a naked girl next to him. Like, no front about it. It's just this girl likes to sleep naked. Boom. And, yeah, there were a couple of times where he'd like, yeah, it's weird. Like, he keeps thinking, like, the guy keeps having, like, weird, like, sexual fantasies. One of the girls keeps, like, actually throwing sexual fantasies at him. And then, and like this other girl, she keeps having everyone tell her how like fucking perverted this kid is, and like you should really stay away from him. Like walking down the street, like there are all those little like background text boxes of people saying like of people talking about, okay, why the fuck is she hanging out with him? Like fuck this guy, seriously, he's a pervert. He should not be corrupting this girl because that's all they believe he's doing.
Well, some girls be looking for a perverted guy.
Yeah, I mean,
perverted means creative.
Yeah, I mean, she was a nun, so she was. So when she gets out of it, she's gonna be into some shit. Yeah, it's a pretty fun series. It's gonna be interesting seeing how things go from here, and I can only assume that they're gonna be upping the amount of characters on the main team because. Each group of demons, they have the king, which is the one who turned them all. There's the queen, who's the second most powerful. And then they have two knights, two rooks, two bishops, and 8 pawns, I believe. Yes. Yeah, so. And so, unlike most teams where people have up to 8 pawns, this team can only have 1 pawn because he has the power of 8. And then so far on this team they have 1 knight, 1 rook, 1 queen, and I believe 1 bishop. So yeah, there is still plenty of room to grow to make it into to have them fill out the roster and get another rook and another knight. And actually each person's ability, like each of them, depending on what piece a person is, their abilities actually change. Like for rooks, their ability is like intense strength and like durability. Like the rook on this team is like a girl who's like 4 feet tall, and yet she was able to like punch a giant centaur so hard in the dick that it actually flew through a roof.
And man, that would be rough.
The Nancy series, not actually in the dick.
Yeah, she punched. Yeah, like they didn't. You couldn't see the dick because I'm pretty sure it was a female. Like it's. They had tits, but I'm not sure if it sounded like a guy. So, in my mind, at least, sounded like a guy. So she just punched it and like went fucking flying through the roof. Knights have the ability. Knights are like swordsmen, obviously, so they just have like different sword abilities. And queens are more magic users. Like the queen on this team is actually known as the Princess of Lightning. So guess what she does?
She must use water.
No, she actually uses toasters. But yeah, I keep saying this, but I like it. Well, yeah, also, just remembered, actually. I'm terrible at this. But yeah, so pawns, they actually have the ability to promote themselves. Like in chess, when a pawn gets to like the opposite end of the gets to the enemy end of the board, they're able to swap out for another piece. So the pawns, when they get into enemy territory, they are able to actually change their powers. So like you can like Issei would be able to get in enemy territory, say rook, and then get super strength. Or go in there, say knight, and actually be able to like use swords and shit. Or get in there and say queen and actually be able to like up his magical power to insane levels. But they just can't turn into kings because chess.
Yeah, you can't have more than one king.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure where like the chess idea came from for the series. It's really weird. Like when you hear DXD, like when you hear DXD, like DXD, what do you think of?
I think of some sort of game that you play with 20-sided dice.
Yeah, I'm thinking like some weird like RPG type thing where, like, right. So I'm the dungeon master, and this is our rogue. This is our mage. This is our priest. You could be our monk. Yeah, I'm not exactly thinking chess. But yeah. It's pretty good. Check it out. If you don't mind eshy shit, check it out. Moving on. Bovi-Wan, what have you been watching or reading?
Alright, so despite my usual not wanting to get really obsessed with one series, I got really obsessed with one series. When They Cry. Which is the English title.
Also known as Hikarashi no Nakakoro ni.
Yeah, and I gotta say, this show is fucking insane.
Yeah, it is a... It's actually based on a series of video games.
Oh. Well, I will have to play those video games.
Yeah, like visual novel style games, I think. And like so, in the show, each time you play through it, you can make different choices and change the outcome of the game.
Yeah, so I was just going to give the basic premise is that I can't exactly remember the name of the town. But there's this village, and there's a newcomer to the village, Keiichi-kun, mm-hmm. or whatever. I added Kun to his name. Yes, I do that. I add honorifics to people's names. The more common they're used, everyone calls him Kun. Everyone uses that suffix for him. But yeah, Keiichi. I don't remember his surname. I really don't care. Right, it's Maibara. Maibara Keiichi, he moves to town, he's new, and basically this is the only point that is consistent because it's a series of short little stories all going from this point and him making friends with this group of four girls at school. My brain didn't work there for a second.
Each from different ages, like... I think there's only like one of them that's actually the same age as him. There's one older and two younger.
I believe in the first episode he refers to two of them as his upperclassmen, despite the fact that one of them doesn't look it.
Huh. That'd probably be the orange-haired one whose name I can't remember. Like, she looks kind of the same age as him.
Rena,
yeah.
Yeah, she's actually older than him.
Okay, yeah.
And he comments on how ridiculous it is that he's helping upperclassmen with their work. And yeah, then there's the two who are younger than him, who are Satoka and...
What's her face?
Yeah, I can't remember. Something with an R?
Yeah. I hope you guys are drinking Reika. Through all this.
So basically it goes from him making friends with those four who are all part of the gaming club. This is not video games club. They play different competitive games. They find a way to basically turn everything into a competitive game. So in one of the early episodes, you see them playing Old Maid, and just all of the girls have the cards memorized so well that they can tell which cards are which by the wear patterns on them. So they're totally cheating. But to them, cheating is part of the competition, and overcoming the cheating is also part of the competition. So, and it goes from there, and it goes from pretty much every story follows roughly this arc. Keiichi shows up, makes new friends. We then get about an episode. Sorry, before we get that, we get a sneak peek at the end, which is some horrible scene of murder.
Yeah.
And then we go and we get about an episode of Slice of Life. During this episode of Slice of Life, we start to see some small cracks, some small little hints that maybe things aren't quite right here. And over the next few episodes, things start to unravel until by about the third or fourth episode, things are totally fucked.
Yeah, like, I have watched the first two arcs of this.
Further than that, I can't remember exactly. And it doesn't exactly follow that formula the whole time.
I remember the first one. For a lot of them, I remember. I don't remember him like being like just like fresh off the bus. I remember like he's been there for like a couple of weeks, so the kids like know him. He knows them, and they're all like friends now.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't exactly start exactly when he arrives in town, but he is, yes, you know, the new guy.
Yeah, he's the new guy, but he is not the brand new guy.
Yeah. Now, after the first few, I think after the first three, it actually does change up so that you're no longer getting just single arcs that are disconnected. You sometimes get a few that are connected. Like, I think we've had about three now that are all within the same continuity. Different perspectives of things.
Yeah, like, that's one of the weird things that... That's one of the things that, like, the show kind of can't do, because each arc usually ends with everybody dead.
Yeah, well, this is basically covering different perspectives of it, and everyone's still ending up dead at the appropriate times. And I think the arc we're on now is actually a new set, like a new set from the last few. But yeah, things totally followed that arc exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was actually really cool to see all the different perspectives. And yeah, man, Keiichi with that fucking bat, which is not spoilers because that's the first thing you see in the first episode, is Keiichi fucking murdering some people with that bat.
Yeah, it seems like from arc to arc, like, people usually keep the same weapons.
Yeah, I've been wondering, this whole time, Mio, she's been carrying a fucking pistol around. I don't know if it's real. Yep. I don't know if it's fake. But it's been holstered under her arm the whole time, and it never gets mentioned.
Yeah, she's just fucking strapped at all times.
All the time, and no one ever mentions it.
Yeah, but one thing that I really like with that show is, like, it does, for being four episode arcs, it does a very good job of actually pacing itself really well.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Like, I remember specifically from the first arc, so with that one, I'm not gonna, spoiler, I guess, for the first arc, because I want to get into this.
Yeah, there's a scene I gotta talk about from this arc, so we may as well go into spoiler alert.
Yeah, so, Reyna, she is the one who's, like, when, Keiichi gets to town, and they start, like, messing around in the junkyard and stuff, and Reyna starts kind of snapping a little bit. She starts, Keiichi starts seeing things like, oh, hey, someone was here. Like, was it a murder? Was it not? And then, like, you see, like, Reyna, like, walking around with a giant fucking, like, knife hatchet thing. And we start drawing some, like, parallels to, Satoshi, who I believe was, he was, like, a character who was there before and then, like, disappeared.
Yeah, and in later arcs, he's Satoka's brother. And yeah, we do actually get to see him in one of the much, much later arcs, basically when it goes to before this shit.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so one of my favorite scenes from that first arc, and probably one of the creepiest ones, was Keiichi is at home, and Reyna shows up and gives him some rice balls or something, or meatballs or something. So he goes in there, starts taking a bite of them, but she put pins in them. Like, she put needles, sewing needles in them. And so he just started, like, eating them and, like, took a bite. He's like, oh, fuck this. Throws them all out and then goes upstairs, just looks at the window. And it's, like, pouring rain out there. You just see Reyna standing in the rain, not blinking, just eyes not moving, just saying, I'm sorry, over and over and over again.
Actually, you're getting two parts confused.
Okay, yeah, probably. But, yeah, I remember, like, she, when she first, like, showed up and gave him those, like, meatball things, She looked fucking creepy.
Yeah, I believe it's at that point where there's a really creepy scene I want to mention. She shows up, they have a brief conversation, he then goes to close the door, and just as the door's barely open, a crack, just whoom, her face is suddenly right there with creepy fucking eyes, and I forget what she says, but it's something really fucking creepy, and that scene is plastered in my memory as one of the most terrifying things I've seen in my life.
Yeah, like, that show does a fantastic job of just getting across the creep, especially with the eyes.
Oh yeah, and
like
this is
like the eyes are always like the creepiest thing. They're always the things that I remember from those arcs. Just God, the eyes.
And yeah, from that one scene, it's just that eye suddenly being there, suddenly in that crack, that little last crack, and it was very unexpected. And I'm not going to say it's even anything like a jump scare, but if it were a jump scare, it'd be a good jump scare because it's like I said, it's unexpected. I just expect the door to close and him to be like, "Man, that's fucking creepy." But what then happens is,
"Whoa!" Some candy?
And
I kind of want to get that scene, just like start dubbing it over in different, like dubbing it over like different things. Just possible, it's like "Hasta la vista, baby." Just doing like putting Arnie in there or some other really fucking stupid line, like the pedophile from Family Guy.
I find this anime as really good evidence of why I say that Japanese horror is currently far beyond American horror. In that American horror still relies very heavily on gore, very heavily on jump scares. And I say still, but it's not really still. It's has grown to, which is, you know, devolving, really.
Yeah. Have you seen the trailer for the new fucking Evil Dead movie?
Yes, I have, and we'll talk about that plenty during the Anything Cast and next week, but
just saying, it's a perfect example.
It is a perfect example of how, like, American horror is just starting to go down the drain, whereas Japanese horror is only, for the most part, getting better. There's still, of course, shit out there. Every country's going to
come up
with shitty horror.
Yeah, but this, yeah, it is. Higurashi is a really good series.
Yeah, and I call it horror. It's not exactly horror. It's kind of horror mystery, sort of.
It's kind of like a mix of like the horror mystery and like psychological stuff.
And you get a couple episodes of just plain old slice of life.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's one of the cool things. Like, I remember with the second arc, I'm pretty sure. Like the one with the twins.
Yeah, there's a good chunk where you think like I honestly deceived myself into thinking that, you know, the important things here was who he had a crush on and how his relationship was going to work out with the twins. And then I'm like, oh yeah, shit's going to get real.
Yeah, like we just see that and I'm like, then like as soon as the scene with the ladder, or just like, oh, okay, this is still Higurashi.
Yeah, because I swear, I fooled myself for a little while into thinking this is just going to be a nice, ordinary little slice of life, and then I'm like, oh, right.
It's like, oh, yeah, this be fucked.
It's like if you were playing Amnesia and somehow tricked yourself into thinking it was Minecraft.
Not humanly possible. It's like if you're playing Amnesia, trick yourself into thinking you were playing Disneyland Adventure.
Well, you know what? I find Mickey Mouse just as creepy. But yeah, Higurashi, really good series. I recommend everybody watch it now, although I'm not picking it for the anime club. I probably will in the future.
Yeah, I'm going to be, at some point, I'm going to be finishing up that one and then going and checking out like the sequel series.
There's a sequel series? I've heard that there's two seasons, but there's a sequel series?
I think it's not either a sequel series or the next season. It's Higurashi no Nakakoro ni Kai. Like, I know there are like two other series that have Higurashi in them, as well as like some other title stapled onto the back of it.
All right, well, I shall have to watch all of those because, like I said, this is an incredible series that has so captivated my attention that I cannot possibly drop it for a minute, and that's why it's the only thing I'm talking about today.
Okay. So, Pudge?
That would be me then, eh?
Yeah.
All right, let's go from that to something more lighthearted, let's call it. There's a manga that I've recently stumbled across called Horimiya. Horimiya.
Okay, Horimiya.
It's a combination of the two main characters' names. It's largely meaningless.
Okay.
But the girl, the main character, I guess, Hori, is a high school girl. She's popular at school, she has lots of friends and everything, but outside of school, she basically acts as a mother for her younger brother because her parents are both extremely workaholic and never in a house.
Yeah, for a second there, I thought you were going to say, because both her parents are extremely dead.
No. This, although, so far we've only seen her mother. Like, there's nothing saying that her father is non-existent.
Well, her father has to exist, otherwise she wouldn't exist.
Well, yeah.
Unless, you know,
I
she's
mean,
like...
non-existent as in dead slash or divorced or something.
Yeah. Well, her father could not exist, you know, she's like Immaculate Conception.
Yeah. She could be Jesus. You never know.
Or adoption.
Yes, there's that too. But anyway...
Or her mom could have thrown an insemination party.
There's still technically a father there, but they're not really fathering. But yes, Pudge, you may actually continue.
Yeah.
So, due to her responsibilities as a surrogate mother in the place of her mother... for her younger brother, she doesn't really have much of a social life outside of school. She's very studious and whatnot. She gets all her work done, but she basically can't do anything outside of school with her friends or anything, despite the fact that she's very popular. And one day, I forget the exact situation where they run into each other outside of school. She runs into somebody... This guy who has a bunch of piercings and stuff. A bunch of piercings and tattoos. And as it turns out, it's a guy in our class who's like the quiet kid with glasses who sits in the back. And yeah, the character most people seem that is like an otaku or the creepy guy or a nerd, I guess.
Pudge, I can barely hear a word you're saying.
Yeah, your internet is being shit.
Yeah, sorry for everyone out there. It's just internet connections where he is not good, I guess.
Yeah, it's not the best. Unfortunately. I'll try and keep this short. But, so they...
30 seconds on the clock.
We're not doing that again. But, they... basically bond over their hidden lives because they can't, piercings and tattoos and things are banned by the school, so nobody can find out about that, and she just doesn't want people to find out that she's basically a live-at-home mom outside of school. So they bond, and there's sort of a budding romance in between them. So far, there's been one other person who's figured it out. One other who's going to, I think. But it's just a nice, lighthearted, romantic comedy, I guess. I would call it.
Okay.
It's something that... it's a nice break from explosions and stabbing and other stuff.
Yeah.
Insert... extreme thing here.
Yeah.
So it's... and,
yeah, insert extreme death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, there's really not much else to talk about. There's no magic powers or anything. Or
it's just like... life. Okay, yeah. It's... I feel like at some point I should start like getting into slice of life stuff. Like, a lot of the stuff I've been reading has been the stuff that needs like page after page of explanation, which is, you know, standard course for most anime that have some magical element to it.
Yeah.
So I've just been kind of thinking of just getting into just regular, like, hey, here's life, it's cool.
Hooray!
Comedy!
Yeah, most manga sites for Deadman and all those interested will have an advanced search function.
Yeah, I know.
Slice of life, top rated stuff, and then just go through. There's tons of them that are brilliant.
Yeah, I know. I've been meaning to get more into the Manga Fox library of archived manga. I've been busy with trying to learn coding for the video player that I'm trying to implement and other business type stuff.
Alrighty then. So let's go to the second one and let's make it my final one for tonight.
Yeah, maybe a short one this week, folks. Sorry.
Oh, well. Now, this is a bit of a word salad thing. And I apologize in advance, but it's in the Aimless Wanderings. People can go and see how it's supposed to be spelled there. It's Mahoka Koko no Retose. And it translates roughly into the Irregular Magic High School.
The Irregular Magic High School?
The Irregular at Magic High School.
Okay.
So, you'll understand once you get the plot. Basically, the year is 2095. Technology has advanced enough that basically it's advanced that you can call it magic. And that's what they do. So with this magic comes institutions to train young people coming up in how to use it. Unfortunately, along with magic also seems to come a bit of a class system in the schools. The particular school that happens, that the story takes place at, the first magic high school, which refers to its number in Japan. As far as I know, the numbers are largely arbitrary, but they're separated into two classes, simply named Class 1 and Class 2. Class 1 have the higher abilities and stuff and get all the personal tutoring and training and all the stuff that you would expect from a high-end school that their ability warrants. Class 2 are basically second-class citizens whose only purpose is to take the place of a class 1 if they can no longer participate at the school. So they basically kind of just exist taking online courses.
So I have a bit of a prediction. Our protagonist is a class 2.
Well, yes, but...
You don't say!
But it follows these two sort of twins, I guess. They were born like a month apart, which is...
They're not twins,
whatever. Then.
A month apart, because that's possible.
Oh, shush.
Yeah, because biology, that's how it works.
But they're in the same... So, basically, they're close enough to be in the same year at high school. In school, throughout the whole way through. And the sister, who's the younger one, is extremely proficient at magic and everything, and she's in class 1. She makes it in there, no problem. The older one, the brother, he gets extremely high marks in written exams and the physical exams. He's just terrible at practical magic. So
he's a theoretical magician.
Yeah, he makes it in, but as a class 2. So it's an interesting dynamic because they're very close and one of them thinks they're closer than they are, and it's very, aha, if you don't want to see that kind of stuff, don't read it, I guess. Incest is what I'm hinting at here. Nothing has happened as of yet in the manga, at least something. I haven't read the light novels, which they're based on, but yeah.
That's a line you don't want to just coming out of context. Just incest is basically what I'm talking about.
It's an anime podcast. If anyone hears that, they'll just shrug it off.
Yeah, but it was just parents walking by. You know, some kid. He's like listening to this on his computer. Doesn't have his headphones on. Parent just walks by. Just like incest is what I'm basically talking about. It's like, what the fuck are you listening to?
Okay, Deadman, let me stop you there. A kid's listening to our podcast and their parents walk by. Doesn't matter what part it's at.
Pretty much, yeah. We're gonna get like a
we're getting cease someone and grounded.
We're getting like a cease and desist order from like a League of Angry Moms.
But there
like,
is
like, how dare you not like Green Lantern?
At the school, and there's the expected, I guess, sort of class warfare kind of thing, where the class one are hoity-toity aloof SOBs about, like, you're stupid, and I can kick you as much as I like, and you can't do anything about it because you're class two and I'm class one, ha 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 ha.
Yeah, because that's how schools work.
Yes.
Remember, kids, if you're in grade higher, you can beat the kids in the grades lower than you because school.
Man, yes. don't you remember Beat the Applied Kids Day?
No, I do not, actually. I remember like hating the grade nines. Seriously, fuck grade nine kids. Seriously.
You were on the academic level with me, or the university level in the later years, so yeah, the applied/college kids, or the workplace kids. You definitely fucking beat on the workplace kids.
Stupid kids, they don't know how to do English.
Oh yeah, tiered schools. They happen in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to subject.
Back on topic.
There is a long and complicated system that they do explain for the magic that they use, which is basically, in its simplest form, you're shooting different, like, digital code at people.
Yeah. Basically, it's Amadou science.
Yeah. But
actually, so they're doing code? So they're like Nagato from Haruhi Suzumiya?
Yeah, you could consider it that. Sort of like that. They compile the code. I'm not even going to try. There's like a whole chapter dedicated to explaining it.
Yeah, they do science and it turns into magic.
Yes. And it turns into being lasers and shooting out of hands and stuff.
Cave Johnson would love this world.
But as it turns out, there are other forms of magic that science has since determined that are actually magic. Such as ninjutsu.
Wait, ninjutsu?
Yes.
So,
ninjutsu was an actual thing in history, and it has since been discovered to be magic.
Okay, so in this world, the science has gotten to a level where it can be considered magic, but then through doing science, they found out that old magics are actually just magic.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's weird.
There's different systems to use them on. Technology one sort of.
So wait, there's subsets of magic. So there's subsets of magic.
Yeah. But basically, the reason the brother can't buy it is because he's the top student of a ninja, basically.
Wait. So
spoiler alert. I guess.
Brother's a ninja. So the brother's Naruto?
Not really. he's really not in any way Naruto. Extreme, more like Sasuke, I guess.
Okay, so
if I must compare him to a Naruto character.
So yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. So one of the kids who didn't get into class one at the magic school was in class two, but he's a genius at magic.
Yeah, but it wasn't the magic that they tested him on to place in the class.
Schools, everybody.
Yep.
Yes, actually, that is very reflective of most education systems.
So there's like a commentary on education, like a satire and commentary on the state of education in nowadays.
You might be thinking that way if you so desire.
I don't desire to think it that way. I'm just.
But yeah, in every single.
I do.
Mind spoiler, I guess. In every single fight with a class one student, he completely trumped their asses.
Yeah, because he ain't doing science. He's doing magic, motherfuckers. He's summoning toads and shit. Or snakes, I guess.
For the most part, he kind of just teleports around.
That's all he does. He's
with their, he sends the sort of magic waves to screw their head and knock them out.
That's it. He just
from his, from his gun.
He has a gun?
It's a magic. There's these things called CADs, which speed up the process of casting newfangled magic. And he's got a CAD. A lot of them are like normal everyday objects, and all of them are guns because, you know, guns are a good object to personify point and shoot kind of stuff.
So they're kind of like Dresden's hockey stick.
Sort of, yeah.
So they all have the evokers from Persona 3.
Yeah, except instead of shooting themselves, they shoot other people. And the other people don't get personas. They more or less die.
That would be. Can you just imagine like that? Just like they get in the battle, and the one guy just like one guy who looks like the protagonist from Persona 3 just like persona that puts the gun to his head and shoots it, but then he just kills it. So it's like, oh, wrong world, dude.
Yeah. But sort of they get the siblings get drafted to student council. Drafted, I suppose it's by choice, so it's not really drafting, but they get put on the student council and it's like class two is on the student council.
Well, I never.
Well, it's on the morals committee, but
it's just
that's about it. I encourage anybody to go check out the light novel, the mangas. I think there's two spin-offs, which one focuses on the sister, and another one focuses on sort of the other side characters.
Okay. So yeah, I said this was part of Aimless Wanderings?
Yes, it is in the Aimless Wanderings that should be up.
Okay, Aimless Wanderings 13. Catch it.
Yeah.
Check that shit out at starcrowds.com/archive/ whatever 5-digit number ends up going on the end of that URL.
Yeah, I want a good, solid diet drive. one.
Okay. So you said that was it for what we've been watching then?
Yeah.
Okay, on to news.
Anime. Okay, fine.
Now, jumping the gun a bit, are we?
Yeah, so, first up, Shinichiro Watanabe, who's the guy who made Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo, and Kids on the Slope, is teaming up with Bones to work on a new original anime project. We have no word on when it's going to be coming out, what it's going to be, or what it's going to be called, but it's news.
Yeah, and it's awesome news.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. He makes good shit.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
This is made up of sort of guys who worked on I think it was Sunrise that put out Cowboy Bebop. And they broke off and made the company Bones. And they helped him make the movie in collaboration with Sunrise.
Yeah, Bones, so, I've seen some Bones stuff and it's been pretty good. I've been liking their work and yeah, they make something new with this guy.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I wasn't exactly the biggest fan of Cowboy Bebop. It was interesting. So, yeah, moving on. So, the Saint Young Men movie has its two leads. So it was announced that Mirai Moriyama from Crying Out Loud in the Center of the World, 20th Century Boys, and Motoki would be playing the role of Jesus. And the leader of the band Sake Rock, Gen Hoshino, will be playing the role of Buddha.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I have no idea. I haven't watched the anime adaptation of 20th Century Boys yet, so I don't know, which is probably the only thing on there that I would know and be considered watching.
So you're not familiar with either of these voice actors, but it's Saint Young Men.
Yeah, it's Saint Young Men. It's going to be... I hope it goes well, because Saint Young Men is fucking awesome.
Yeah. I have high hopes for that show.
Yeah, here's hoping. So, moving on to the next piece of news. So, in December of... So the December issue of Shogakukan's Cheese magazine announced on Wednesday that Yuki Kodama will be starting her series Tsukikage Baby in the January 13th issue of the Monthly Flowers magazine. January 2013 issue, yeah. So this is an omnibus series that can be set in a small provincial town that maintains traditional ways of Japan. The series is going to be following the human dramas among the families there from various viewpoints. Or this.
All right.
Yeah.
That sounds like an interesting premise.
Yeah. You're just going to be drama shit of a modern day town of set in with both old traditional Japanese values. Yep.
RTE.
Yeah, I am so sorry about this, folks. Like, we were on a good roll there of really good episodes, and then just now, just...
Oh, it's a fly week.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Well, yeah, so, moving on to the next piece of news. Ishimori Productions has found a 24-page unpublished colored chapter of the Cyborg 009 manga. So the chapter was written as part of the Mythos Cyborg arc, and it's been the chapter has been in color for the past 42 years. A publisher on Fukan.com is going to be publishing the chapter as part of the third volume of the compiled series. The company previously published two volumes, which is the Underground Empire Yomi version, which was released in August. That was just shy of 700 pages at $6.95, and it also published Birth/Assassin version, which came out on. Which came out this Tuesday, actually. And that was 693 pages. So then the third volume, which is going to be the Mytho Cyborg version, is going to be included in this chapter, and it'll be released in December.
So, I'm not familiar with this, but I'm kind of wondering why they are discovering chapters and compiling. Is the creator dead?
They're not discovering and compiling. Like, so these old, so like the two versions that were released before, they were compiled versions of the manga that had already been released.
Okay.
Like they just, like this studio, like the series ran and ended, and then I guess just recently they just found this chapter that never got published.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So this is going to be an extra thing that's going to be put into the third volume.
All right, now it all makes sense to me.
Yeah. So for those who don't know about the series, The Cyborg 009 was, I actually watched some of the anime of this back in the day. But so, a secret government organization, took 9 people and, like, transformed them into cyborgs with different abilities. Like, there was one guy who was, like, made of rubber, one guy had, like, guns in his fingers, one guy could shapeshift.
This is sounding a lot like Mega Man. Because you get one robot to be Mega Man and then the other 8 to be the bosses.
Not really. Like they're all on one team.
Oh,
yeah. They're all in their big. They're all in their red onesie. They're all in like their red things with like their thigh high black boots with their yellow scarves. Yeah. So anyway, also Comixology, a digital comics platform, is going to be releasing the entire manga. Or it's going to be actually releasing all of Ishinomori's work. So who is the guy who made the Cyborg 009? He's going to be releasing all of that. And I believe they're also going to be releasing this chapter. So yeah. That's happening.
Hooray!
Extra stuff.
Yeah, so, moving on to interesting thing. So, Leiji Matsumoto, who's the creator of the manga, or anime, or whatever, Space Pirate Captain Harlock, and Galaxy Express 999, was knighted in France.
Okay, that's actually really cool.
Yeah, so the French government conferred onto Matsumoto the Chevalier de l'Ordre des Arts et des Lettres, which is Knight of the Order of Arts and Letters. Yeah, so this order honors individuals who have contributed in art, literature, or other areas. So yeah,
Well, there you go.
He's a knight in France, which means he'll be the first in line for surrendering.
Yeah.
French people feel my hatred.
Yeah, specifically French Canadians.
Yeah, it's not so much the people in France. You guys are cool. I mean, you do kind of, you know, give up pretty easily in wars, but you've also suffered a lot of invasions, and I gotta respect that. But those French Canadians, I could tell, we don't like them, you don't like them, so we have something in common there.
Yeah, so moving on. The official website for Hobby Japan and Orchid Seeds, the Seven Deadly Sins Multimedia Project announced this week that an anime adaptation of the project has been greenlit. So the series focuses on seven female demons who embody the seven deadly sins. Yeah, so Roman symbol that I can't remember what it is, or Greek symbol. It's been so long since I've done physics, I can't remember what any of them are. But yeah, so a guy who worked on the series on Blast Rider and Samurai Girls created the original character designs, and Hiroko Kaneko, who's worked on Quasar of the Stigmata, is adapting them for the anime, and he's also directing it. Makoto Uezu, who worked on Humanity Has Declined, Is This a Zombie, School Days, and also Quasar of Stigmata, is going to be writing the series and going to be writing and overseeing the series scripts. And Remick, who worked on Dojin Work, Rankin 3Q, Magical Pokan, is going to be producing the series. And the website has emphasized that this anime will not be adults only.
Oh, so we won't have an overly sexualized lust.
Oh, no, it's still really over-sexualized. Look at the pictures.
Oh, so this version of lust won't be showing tits.
It looks like... Well, she'll be showing underboob.
Of course. Well, I never said there would be no underboob. There's always underboob.
Yeah. And it's weird. Greed is actually fatter than sloth.
Well, sloth is just laziness. Greed is being greedy. It would make sense for gluttony to be the fattest, though.
Actually, let me look. Gluttony is actually the skinniest.
Actually, no, that also makes a lot of sense. Just consider me for a minute. Or even better, consider Ninja Kitty's eating habits. And look at how skinny she is.
Yeah, Punch doesn't know what Ninja Kitty looks like, and neither do any of our fans. If we have fans, if we call them fans, or that was presumptuous. People who have stumbled across this drunken one night. Yeah, so that does it for news. Now, on to Anime Club. Yeah, so, Pudge, you picked this week's series. What did we watch?
We watched The Kamen Nomade Guy.
Yes, we did. I watched two episodes of this series. Bobby, you said you only watched one.
I also said I got totally engrossed in another series.
Yeah, I know. But still, you could have watched that in a couple days and picked up this one.
Yeah.
And Pudge, I'm assuming you watched all of it.
At one point in time, yes. Recently, I've only watched a couple. But
Yeah, so
I know.
But so set up the show for the people.
All right. By and large, it's a show about breasts and maids, but not put together. It's, well, yeah, that's pretty much the simplest form of it. But Naika Fujiwara and her brother Kosuke are the last heirs to her, to their grandfather's ridiculously large fortune. Sort of, you know, on the level of no matter what you do, you will never be able to spend this much money in your lifetime level of fortune.
Yeah. Challenge accepted.
And Naika is 17 years old and she's nearing her 18th birthday when she will inherit the aforementioned fortune. So her grandfather, in fear of people after the fortune, sends some protectors in the forms of maids. One is Fubuki, standard maid example. Think of a maid.
Except with a nail bat.
Yeah, that comes later.
First episode.
But, and the other is Kogarashi, who's the maid guy.
Yeah, he's I can't even describe him.
How about this for a description? A monster of a man in a dress.
Yeah, pretty much.
Whose idea of service for his master is very rough around the edges.
Yeah, that is... That's
being generous.
So Kokonashi, he is weird. Like, apparently he was like a professor at MIT for a few years. Maybe served in wars at some point.
He has some interesting qualification.
By using his maid guy powers, he's able to hook himself up to a printer. He's also able to hook himself up to another person and download information into their brain. Or I guess upload information into their brain. Yeah, and he's weird. Like, I'm not sure if he's Satan.
I don't think he's quite Satan.
Yeah, like, there have been multiple times where, like, one time he was making dinner, but he was making dinner in, like, a pot with skulls all over it, over an open fire, while dropping, like, live lizards into it.
I bet you that would have been fucking tasty dinner, though.
Contact with the floor.
Yeah, and, like, when that shit got spilled, it burst into flames, and he is flame retardant, apparently.
He's essentially invincible. He's got a bit of an Alucard syndrome going on.
Yeah, but he has like a higher range of hearing, so specific frequencies cause him to go into insane amounts of pain. And if you whistle long enough, that'll put even him at death's door. That is a direct quote from the sub we watched.
Yes, but it doesn't say it will actually kill him.
No, to put him at death's door.
Even after the whistle, you then need 5 kryptonite bullets, a silver stake, unobtainium, wonderflonium.
The blood of a virgin. and a hair from Robin Williams' arms to kill him.
That's just the first form.
Yeah. then he digivolves. He digivolves into Kenpachi.
Kokorashi is basically the final boss in a video game.
Yeah, he has some weird abilities too. Like I said, he's able to plug like a USB 2.0 stick, like 2.0 thing into his ear and just like print shit off from his mind or try to download it into someone else's head. He is able to, he's flame retardant, he's able to like get beaten to the point where like he is actually smoking. He got beaten so bad that he actually burst into flames for a second. And be in a pool of his own blood and be up and walking around with a couple bandages on in, like, seconds. He's able to climb buildings, like, scale buildings, like, bare hand, I'm guessing.
He skitters.
You guys are missing one thing. Despite being such a hulking, invincible man, dude's a fucking ninja.
Yeah, dude's... Yeah, he managed to act. People were actually looking at him, and he managed to disappear without them noticing him. Like, first episode. First episode, he was in like the girls' change room, dropping off a clean bra for the girl, Nika. And they opened the door, and all three girls, like Nika and her two friends, were looking at him, and they didn't notice him.
Yeah, like, if he doesn't want you to see him, you won't see him.
Yeah, so a good chunk of the show... Yeah.
Probably bigger than your couch, so...
Yeah. I'm kind of torn on this show. Everything that's happening with Kokodashi is fucking awesome. Kokodashi is an amazing character. But everything that's happening with Nika is creepy. Like, she's 17, and everything about her is about her boobs.
They do make sound.
Yeah, like, everything about her is about her boobs. Like, she is... It is really weird, because, like, in the first episode, we see her... Like claiming, like, Kendo is amazing, I am all for Kendo, like, all hail the spirit of Kendo, and then the next episode, she's saying, oh my god, I can't do Kendo, I'm going to get fat.
How does Kendo make you fat?
Not being able to do Kendo makes her fat.
Oh.
Yeah, which makes no sense, because, like, the previous episode, she was saying, all glory to Kendo, and the next episode is like, I only do Kendo so I don't get fat.
Yeah, she seems a lot more dedicated than that.
Yeah, and it's also really creepy because people are trying to buy her. Like, so at this school, there are two Kendo clubs. The male club and the female club. The male club worships Nika's boobs. Like, I'm not kidding. That is, like, their official title is, like, the whatever private school, the private academy, male Kendo club, and fan club of Nika's boobs.
Well, yeah, when you were 17, didn't you have a fan club for the most busty girl's boobs?
I didn't form a club. I didn't offer her friends thousands of dollars to just sell me her.
Man, you were not hanging around with the right crowds. I was a part of at least three different clubs worshiping at different girls' boobs.
I was hanging out with you.
Well, sometimes, yeah, but I diversified my groups.
Well, I couldn't. Yeah. People were creeped out by me in high school. And probably still are to this day.
I would guess that, yes, they are still creeped out by you.
Yeah, and... But yeah, the series just gets really creepy for me sometimes. Just the amount of boobage that is thrown at us from the 17-year-old girl, the amount of just really weird kind of prostitution shit going on with her and her friends. Like, I know it's all in good heart, and I know it's all like fun laugh shit. It's like, haha, it's funny because friends don't sell friends into sexual slavery. But it still kind of creeps me out. And also just all the sound effects, the incidental sounds. Like, in the first episode, she picks up two bras. They start swinging, and they make the sound of like, or something, and they do it for like the next 20 seconds. It's like, okay, yeah, like, there's no dialogue over the back half of it either. It's just girls standing there with weird looks on their faces while the bras go, and it's fucking annoying. And every time she moves, her boobs make a different noise.
It's not consistent either. I did note that her boob noises change.
Yes. And half the time, I have no idea what the hell she's talking about. Like, first episode again, because I've only watched the first two episodes. She has this, like, long, drawn-out speech of, like, she doesn't want to live, like, having a maid there to clean up her shit. Like, that isn't the ideal life for a 17-year-old girl. The two things are completely different, which she didn't talk about two different things. And then she's like, should I just live the life of a dandelion where I get stepped on but never lose my springiness or something? I have no idea what the hell she was talking about.
Yeah, and she kind of goes into one of those real first world problem things in the first episode of, I don't want a maid because I want to have my independence, even though she's horrible at being independent because that house looked like...
Yeah, her house.
It looked like several other houses went inside, had a party, and then were exploded.
Yeah, she had It's like she went down to, like, New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, swept up, like, the remains of, like, three different houses, and then just dumped it on her house.
And into her house.
Yeah. It's like Hurricane Katrina happened in her house. Like, she had, like, stray cats, like, snakes, bats, crows living in her house.
There were at least seven mattresses.
Yes.
On the outside.
They actually had to sleep in hammocks above all the garbage because they couldn't get to their beds. Yeah, it's... Yeah, she is just fucking stupid. Like, the reason she doesn't want a maid is because her parents were normal people, so it's obvious that she'd be living normal life even though her grandpa is fucking baller and rich and shit. And she just, like, complaining all the... It's not even that she wants her independence, it's that... Is that normal people don't have maids, so she doesn't want one. And also the fact that her brother spends enough time on the internet that he doesn't need a hot woman maid around. Like, that was her excuse. It's like I would rather live in a pile of AIDS-infested hurricane garbage than have this maid around because normal people don't have maids and my brother's kind of a pervert.
And from what I've seen, her brother isn't that much of a pervert, but I've only seen one episode, so maybe that changes.
Yeah, I've seen two. He just seems like us.
He was pretty excited to have the maid, but I'm guessing anybody would be excited to have a maid. I would be excited to have a maid. I mean,
yeah. If you were in my
fucking apartment.
Yeah, like, well, there's that, and also, if you are 17, kind of overweight, and not really popular with anybody, having a hot moan around the house at all times would be not bad.
I could see the appeal of that.
Yes.
Although not ever really being overweight or I'm not gonna.
I'm more of an analog for that guy.
Yeah, I'm sure you understand it more, although I'm very good at understanding people's perspectives. If I were in his position, I'd be pretty excited to have that made too.
It's like, fuck yeah, finally some tits that aren't my sister's.
I'd also find it really cool to have Kokodashi around. I would, like, try and become his apprentice. It would become my life goal.
Just try to learn his demonic maid powers.
Exactly.
Like, maid guy sight that lets him see through women's clothing and, like, figure out their exact weight. Like, he was actually able to, like, look at Nika and figure out how much weight she gained over the past 3 days just by looking at her.
1.8 kilograms.
Yep. That's some number of pounds for Americans. Probably pound.
What?
Kilograms, like, are more mass than a pound.
4.5 pounds, seriously?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know the conversion rate.
Almost exactly. 2.2 kilograms to a pound.
Yeah. I do not know the conversion rate from kilograms to pounds.
But enough about science.
Yeah.
We're talking about maid guys who dress as maids.
Yeah, it's bizarre. He turned like a black art ceremony into like a fruity cocktail.
Yeah, as I said before, that dinner he was making with that cauldron in the skulls was probably fucking delicious.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. Like, he's creepy as shit, but he makes some good stuff. He actually makes Nika underwear.
And yeah, manages, at least with that first bra, to almost perfectly replicate what she already has.
Yeah, just a different color.
The base color was different, but like the little bow, the size, the design of it was all the same.
Another thing that, like, kind of bugged me out of that show is the animation. Like, half the characters' faces, like, at all times look like half of their face got, like, scraped off. Like, specifically on their profiles, like, when you see them, like, at an angle, like a side angle, like, it looks like a good chunk of their face got, like, scooped out with, like, a melon baller. And the hands just look so messed up to me. And it really bugs me. It's, I don't know why. It's just little things like that really bug me in anime. Just really weird face looking stuff. Like her, whenever she blushes, her blushing happens off of her face.
Which is great because the opening scene, like, every girl in the scene is blushing.
Yeah. And it also, I am not one guy to speak to this at all, like, in any stretch of the imagination. But in the second episode, one of their ideas kind of sounds a little offensive.
Oh my god, Dead Man found something offensive.
I know, it's an amazing shock, but just hear me out. According to them, and a professor they made up, because I tried to research him and I couldn't find anything. According to him, women, like, breast size is inversely proportional to math scores.
Yeah.
Saying that women with big boobs are terrible at math.
There's no actual studies that show that.
Yeah, I know, I look it up.
Common sense.
Yeah, it's, again, no merit to speak to that at all, and I'm probably horribly wrong on this, but it seems like some people might be a little offended by that. Of saying, like, hey, have big boobs, you must suck at math.
I'm surprised that you'd say that's something that would be offensive. That's a joke that's very commonly made.
Oh yes, I know. I know this, but this is stating it as pure fact. Like, they actually, like, in the second episode, when they bring this up, they actually have, like, this huge, like, they actually have, like, a good minute and a half presentation of this professor who did, like, studies, and there are graphs and shit happening.
Well, Kogarashi would know.
But
MIT.
Kogarashi didn't say that. He didn't say that. Like, Fubuki said that. And girls at school who know nothing. And so their, like, method to try to combat this is tie down her boobs, and that'll make her smarter. But then the bandages rip because her boobs are too big. So then they give her a steel breastplate.
You know, they really just need to introduce her to some cross players. I know a lot of girls who are very good at hiding breasts.
Well, apparently they'll need, like, magic to do this, because the steel, because, like, they put a steel breastplate on her. It worked for a while, and then it exploded.
So she's got super tits.
Yes. That is her only character trait. It's, I want, like, her two character traits are, I want to live normal, so fuck living in, you know, not squalor, and I have boobs.
Yeah, it still bugs me that whole I want to live normal thing, because she doesn't fucking live normal. She lives like a homeless person with a home. But anyways, yeah, magic tits.
Yeah, I still, I'm torn on the show. Like, Nika is fucking terrible. The animation at times really bugs me, but Kogarashi is fucking amazing.
I'm going to say I like this series. Obviously, there's a lot of things that are ridiculous about it, but I can pretty much overlook them because I figure, kind of like Felicity, it's being ridiculous on purpose. Only Felicity isn't just ridiculous on purpose, it's bad on purpose.
Yeah, like here's the thing. With something like Felicity, you know, like they don't go, they go to the extreme. They, like, find the reasonable point for when this thing would be too crazy. And then, like, they do, like, cartwheels on their base off of that, like, off of the edge, and just go into the abyss of insanity. With this, it's like, they see what's the reasonable cutoff for crazy, and then take, like, 5 or 6 steps back from it. Yeah, it, I might check.
You don't go to a series about a giant man in a maid costume for things grounded in reality, though.
No, you don't. But it would be nice if things were as crazy as he was, or were the polar opposite of him. It's like, if she was, like, perfectly straight, there's, like, no real insanity about her at all, and then he comes along and then just starts introducing the fucking insanity and having her deal with it. I feel like that would be a lot funnier than just some bitch with big tits dealing with it.
I guess you got one good point there, is that the rest of the world is already crazy, as opposed to him being the only crazy thing in a normal world.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it would work as you said it. It would be a very different series if they changed that.
Yeah, have Fubuki as still like the same kind of character, and you know she could still, you know, Nika could still have big boobs, but just make her character more than just her boobs and being a bitch. Like seriously,
once again, I don't think either of us have seen enough of the series to really speak too much on it.
No, we've only seen 2 and 1 episodes apiece. So we don't have any kind of grasp on what the show is. But just from those first 2 episodes, I hate Nika as a character.
Yeah, I didn't like her a lot as a character myself in the first episode. I found a lot of her motivations being rather stupid and not really consistent with her actions. But the series I do most definitely like. I will never dislike a series just because I don't like a character.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of torn on it. But because like there are things within the story that do kind of give me the skeevies, like trying to sell your friend into sexual slavery.
Dude, and then it's actually Japan.
And then actually doing it. I know it's Japan. I know that shit happens. It's still just.
Prostitution is legal in Japan.
Forced prostitution? Like she said time and time again, no, I don't want to. Fuck you. I'm not going to do this. She actually threatened the guys with a real sword if they ever came back. And her friends were like, give me the money, you can have her.
Gotta make a living somehow.
But they don't. They have jobs, I'm guessing. And none of the money was going to Nika. None of the money. It all went to those 3.
I wasn't implying that was Nika's living. That was in question.
I'm pretty sure selling a friend into sexual slavery is illegal.
Yeah, probably. At least in most countries.
Yeah, so that was Common No Maid Guy. I might check out some more of it, because like I said, I'm not completely turned off. I'm not completely, like, turned away by it. Like, Kokodashi is still awesome, and the show does still have some good parts to it. Like, I am interested in, like, the whole murder mystery plot thing they have going on. Because, like, Nika and her brother, whose name I can't remember. Pudge?
Kosuke,
yeah. Nika and Kosuke are the grandfather's last 2 remaining heirs, because everyone else was murdered. So if they started getting more into that, I'd be a lot more interested in the show. Just seeing Kokodashi just go fucking, just unleash. Or just have him go like full a la carte.
Well, I'm sure something like that will happen as the series progresses.
Yeah. Just, I would like to see that. Yeah. Actually, something might be able to help the show. I probably don't like it, but replace Nika with Ceres Victoria. Like before she turned into a vampire. And yeah, it.
What, you mean like the 5 minutes of her we see?
Exactly. Yes, the 5 minutes before she gets shot in the chest.
Or I'm gonna go with the version of Helsing I've been watching, the 30 seconds before she becomes a vampire.
Yes.
I only watched the abridged version.
It's really good. It's like bet you're a slut, bet you're an asshole, bitch, I hate people. Yeah, so you have our opinions. Mine's probably really biased because for some reason I've been really hating on things recently. But yeah, check out the show if you want.
You're hating on everything because of the Evil Dead trailer.
Probably. We'll get into that later in the week, but yeah, it's not a bad show. There's a lot of things in it that really piss me off. And kind of
wacky for the sake of being wacky. Think of it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, so just Common No Maid Guy, if definitely check it out. It's something that needs to be experienced. What you do with it afterwards is up to you. So yeah, Bovey won. You're picking the next series for Anime Club. What are we going to be watching?
Our next series is Weiss Survive.
Outstanding. So, stay tuned for that next week. But that's going to be it for this week. Sorry if this is a short one or not the best quality or content-wise. We had an off week.
We had Extra Life. I'm blaming that.
And our first two podcasts for this week went up late. And we haven't exactly been putting out a lot of articles recently. But yeah. So anyway, as always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow the site at Death's Door Prods. I am at Deadman on Twitter Prods. And we have at BubbyWan and Punchatron. His fake Twitter account is dead now.
So you can even, not even, you know, look at me not post anything.
I am tired. Yeah, so anyway, you can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/deathstoreprods. And we are on YouTube. You can subscribe to us at youtube.com/deathstoreprodsvids and youtube.com/bovion. But Tron, I believe, does not have a YouTube account that he does videos and stuff on.
No, I don't put videos on my YouTube account, but I do have a YouTube account called Punchatron.
Yeah, check him out on YouTube.
If you so desire.
Subscribe.
Things.
Subscribe to his nothing.
Yeah.
You'll probably end up having more subscribers than me, though. Speaking of, why the fuck aren't you subscribed to me? I'm forcing all Death's Door Prod staff to subscribe to my YouTube account.
Abuse of power.
Fuck yeah. I ain't actually your boss, so I can do this shit and not get sued.
All changes the day we get paid.
Oh yeah, the day you guys get paid, I have to stop being an asshole to you. Which is why I've been doing this for 2 years now and no one has been paid yet. We actually have like thousands of dollars in the Death's Door Prods account. I just don't give any to you.
Nice try. I created the PayPal account. I can check it.
You said that's the only PayPal account.
Mind equals blown.
Yeah, so. And we are also on iTunes. So please subscribe to us on there. Leave us some reviews. Let us know what you want to see more of, less of, etc. You probably want to see less of this. So anyway, this week on the site, Punchatron will be posting this week's Aimless Wanderings. Check that shit out. Then on Friday, we're going to be wrapping up the Cabin in the Woods month with Cabin in the Woods. On Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern at allgames.com, we're going to be having the Anything Cast live, as always. Please join us at allgames.com/chat and let us know what you think of what we've been doing for everything. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be having Comic Book Podcast as well as that week's personal issues. I already have what I'm going to be writing for this week, so huzzah. And then on Friday, we're going to be having the Movies Podcast as well as the first commentary track for November, which we'll be releasing the schedule and announcing what month it is in the 1st of November. So, until all that, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bovion.
And I'm Punchatron.
We'll see you guys next time.